Hey, greetings. This is a very humbling opportunity to be here with you all, and I will be as succinct as possible in the context that as God has convicted our ministry of Life Without Limbs to be the hands and feet, and rich or poor, cancer or not, arms and legs or not, stand in front of the gates of hell and redirect traffic. That if God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then God can use any willing heart. And it burdens us as a ministry, as we have gone now to 68 countries, 18 presidents, including our president, 10 governments, and seeing our largest event happen on the 17th of September, 2017, on the streets of Kiev in Ukraine, with 800,000 people there on the street. Don't clap until I let you know, because I know you're going to want to clap, and all glory goes to God. But I want you to understand tonight's message in context. 800,000 people there face to face, which was nearly 12 months since God asked us to go in front of the government, and the address to the government ended with them on their knees saying, God, heal us, heal our land, forgive us, everyone but the president, on national TV. It was the highest rate of 90-minute program in Ukrainian historical television production in 5 years. And after that, they said, would you please talk about the 500-year Reformation? There in September 2017, 800,000 people. By the grace of God, everyone say, by the grace of God. With 26 countries watching in 20 languages live, 52.7 million people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Half of 800,000 gave their life to Jesus. I knew you would clap. Which crossed over our mark of a millionth decision with a small, amazing staff, two board members, two cents a soul at 730 million. But this is the message. A half of that crowd gave their life to Jesus because their background is Orthodox. They go to church twice a year, but they have never heard the gospel preached. They have never heard who Jesus can be in their daily life. They have never heard that when you experience Jesus, he transforms your life. They've never heard that when a family of God under the umbrella of the family of God within a church, when a family of God has experienced transformation, what that means for the community, thus the nations. We walk away from 3,000 events, 2,500 airplanes. This little piece of flesh has been up in the air for 6.5 months straight if you put all the flights together. It has nothing to do, listen, with the anointed or appointed few that the world know about. When Billy Graham was asked, who is the next Billy Graham? He said, all of you. And when we understand the transformation and we taste and see that the Lord is good, the only cure to the greatest disabilities of our life, the disabilities of sin, death, therein everything else, under the curse of sin, fear, anxiety, depression, all these things are stemming from the curse of sin. And the cure is Jesus. And we know it's got nothing to do with the denomination. It's got nothing to do with what type of gift of the Holy Spirit. It's got nothing to do. It's all about Jesus and coming back to the basics of meeting the people's needs and meeting them where they're at. And And with tears in my eyes, I was happy, man. And on the 17th of September, I was on the phone with my wife 5 hours before the event. This was 3 weeks before the shooting in Vegas from a hotel window. There were 600 windows looking at me, and I saw in my mind a sniper shooting me down. There is no great, like a buddy, whatever you call it, bulletproof. But if someone's to kill you, they'll kill you right in the head. So I knew I'm not going to put a bullet vest on. So I called my wife and I said, babe, this could be it. Because I've seen stuff. We've been through stuff. Cool story, 03, went to Indonesia, right? 60,000 got saved in a week, got an email. You ever come back, I'll kill you. But there's never a safer place to be than where exactly God wants you to be, amen. So we went back there 3 years later. Another 60,000 got saved by the grace of God. Everyone say, by the grace of God. Because Billy Graham, nobody can save themselves, amen. No one saves souls but Jesus, amen. But we are the hands and feet. When you look at that song, he'll, you know, kick down the walls and there's no shadow that he won't light up, right? Or mountain he won't climb up. We are, though, the hands and feet to do the climbing, to do the lighting of the fires, to bring light and salt to the earth. We are his army on the front line of God's territory. So I called my wife and I said, babe, this might be it. I'm crying for like 2 hours straight. But then I remember this Indonesian story and I went back to 05, right? Went back to Indonesia 3 years later. 60,000 got saved. And we got an email later saying, hey, I was the guy that told you I'd kill you if you come back. I heard that you were coming back. I was getting ready to kill you. But when I came there, I gave my life to Jesus Christ instead. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. My dad died of cancer at 62. God took him home. Pick a card. Pick any card you want. I don't care. Is it a plane crash? Is it someone killing me? I don't care how I go, but I ain't going 1 minute before he says so. And I'm not afraid. Sure, will I cry? Yes. He's shaking in my boots. My knees were shaking for like 3 seconds. And boom, the Holy Spirit, open your mouth and I'll put the words, not you speaking, but I through you, Matthew 10, 19. And the burden that we have as an evangelical ministry is we do nothing without the local church. As a ministry, we do nothing without the local church. There was an evangelist in South Africa who God sent to South Africa 10 years preaching the gospel, preaching, 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 street evangelist, preaching, preaching, preaching. Many people get saved, preaching, 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 preaching. He had a dream. He's walking through the streets that he was preaching at and he hears a baby cry. He sees a cardboard box, goes to the cardboard box and looks inside a newborn baby. Blood umbilical cord left there to die, abandoned by the mother. And God says, if you don't feed my sheep, this is exactly what happens when you see the gospel taste happening, but you don't follow through. And as a church, as a PK as well, I believe one of the greatest disabilities that we have is not understanding the goal at times. And I've been at some awesome Four square churches that do get this, right? I've been to Lighthouse, Newberry Park. I've been to New Life, Oxnard. I've been to The Rock in Anaheim. I've seen, and sorry if I forgot your church and they kind of blend in, but I run so fast I leave my legs behind, all right? But what are you going to understand? Is we were just there on Sunday and I told Steve Abraham, I said, Steve, I love how you... And Jerry's got that, and Gary's got that as pastor of the churches that we visited. Just as an example of understanding that a pastor can only say so much. A pastor, an apostle can only do so much. The evangelist, the prophet can only do so much. And the disciples did a lot. But to see how the movement happened around the world, that that every nation would hear about Jesus Christ, it took the church. It took the church to be the hands and feet. And when we first feed our sheep, I ask that when you look at the contents from just my 2 cents from Nick Vujicic, I'm not saying this is the word of the Lord. I'm just going to say this. It is very effective when the leadership of any church, of any denomination, understands that when you speak from the pulpit for 40 minutes, that we all need everyone to kind of feel like after they leave church, they're a step closer. Doesn't matter where they were at, but each individual, whether they were new believers, right? Whether they're, I'm going to call it intermediate believers, then I'm going to call the mature believers. We need to mentor one another. The way that this is a family is my older brother's going to help me push this way, and I'm going to help my younger brother pull him out of that yuck. And when you realize that you 50, 60-year-old people, man, I want you to know, you think you're slowing down? Reinhard Bonnke was asked by his son, hey, dad, when are you going to slow down? You're getting old. He said, son, don't you know that the 747 runs fastest on the end of the jetway? Amen? Age ain't nothing to God. That's what I told the youth. Age ain't nothing to God. Your qualification ain't anything to God. He took a stutter and made him a speaker. He took a shepherd and made him a king. He took an 8-year-old, 9-year-old to be a king. Age is nothing. And Jeremiah, he said, I'm young. And the call came. What if God called you? I'm going to send you to do ba 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 ba. Now, I'm not coming from a point of view that the pastors hate hearing you need to do more. No, this is not the message. Come back to the basics of feed my sheep. And I'll remember from last year's national conventions, Tammy Donahue said, we can pray all we want for revival in America. But until we draw a circle around us and we don't know what it is to be fed, to be armored, to be sent, to obey in the understanding that obedience is more than sacrifice. How will they know unless we know how to tell them? But how will we tell them until we lived it ourselves? And our children should know it first. And our wife should know it first. Trust me, I'm needing a lot more improvement on my end to be able to, with my family, it's like a zoo in my house. Can I show you some photos of my family real quick? I think we got a beach photo first. We haven't even got family photos as a family yet. We're going to get that soon. Oh, this is Kane. She's half Japanese, half Mexican. We call that Japsican. Kiyoshi's 5 and a half on the left. Dayan's 2 and a half on the right. And these are our twin girls, 5 months old, Olivia and Ellie. There they are. How awesome is that? Now, we made sure that medically we cannot have any kids, but my wife, while she was half asleep, she said, hey, babe. I said, yes. She said, can we maybe do foster babies one day too? And I'm like, yeah, just not yet. I want you to know that when we have that circle around us, I tell you, I look at my wife and I see the circle. And I look at me, I'm like, man, I want to be more like her. Then from her point of view, she looks at something about my walk with Jesus. She's like, man, I want to be like you. And that's the family of God. You know, we know the verse where it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Put your hand up if you're over 35 years old, please. Put your hand down. My dad died at 62. Me and my brother said, Nick, we're halfway to dead. I said, I know. You ready? You're not going to like this. What if I told you you had 15 seconds to breathe? T- 10.
Yeah,
but wait for my question. You buckle up. How many friends, forget about strangers, forget about neighbors, forget about work colleagues, really. How many friends and how many relatives have you never, ever told them about how Jesus changed your life? What is the worst thing that can happen? You're at the cashier of a grocery store and you got a 16-year-old looking down and she's doing your stuff and you're on your phone and you don't take, we don't take, none of us take 30 seconds to realize we're on mission. And when Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, man, who's excited to die for Jesus? Nobody. But we should be excited to be intentionally living. Excited to be intentionally living where we don't become so busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke, where you can't take away your phone and you actually can't even look at that girl that doesn't even give even the confidence of the day to look at you in the eye, and you don't know if she's being sexually, verbally abused. She sees her alcoholic father verbally abusing her mother. She subconsciously, she doesn't even know that. She actually blames herself and the voices in her head from the principalities and powers of darkness that be at war for her soul, where God actually just happens to make sure that the grocery store that she works at is the grocery store that you go to every single week, and you can't look at her and say hi. Can you practice? Everyone say hi. Can I pray for you? What could the worst thing be that happens after that? She says no. So what do you do? No, you don't pray for her in front of her. That is rude. She just told you not to. So then you say, okay, I understand, but I'm going to pray for you when I get in my car. So, since I'm going to pray for you anyway, what's your order, please? She'd probably chuckle. She'd probably smile. You'd probably be the first person in the city to ask, how can I pray for you? Mission accomplished. Which mission? If you're asleep, you're asleep. Someone needs to wake you. If you're awake, you're either lying down, eating and drinking, or sitting, or walking, or running. What are you eating and drinking? Because what you eat and drink is then affecting what you're thinking, and what you're thinking then affects what you're doing. What are you eating and drinking spiritually, yeah, mentally, affects how you think, and how you think in the renewing of your mind affects what you do. If you really know that you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you don't even want your enemy to go to hell, you will be excited to intentionally, actively live for Jesus Christ and not to say, hey, everybody, Jesus lives, Jesus lives, Jesus lives. No, but to understand the basics of saying, hey, I'm an evangelist. We all have the Great Commission. Can I hear an amen? Go into all the nations and preach the gospel. Amen? Yeah. That's what Foursquare wants to do. Amen? Yeah. So when my dad got cancer, he had pancreatic liver in that area. They call it melanoma carcinoma, liver pancreatic tumors. He was given 8 weeks to live. He lived 21 months. You gave me more time at the beginning, so I'm going to take it. So I'm sorry, okay? But I'm going to say this. When my dad got diagnosed with cancer, the doctor had no cure. If the doctor had a cure in a vaccine, right, and he gives it to my dad, and my dad gets fully healed of pancreatic cancer, that's called a cure. Everyone say cure. If the doctor then said, Boris Vujicic, We have 9 other vaccines. Go find me those that have the same cancer. Do you think he would eat and sleep until he find them? No. How do you think he would tell him, hey guys, just letting you know, there's this doctor down the street, and are you kidding me? You know, he's kind of annoying and he smells a little bit, and you know, are you kidding me? You have cancer? I know the cure. You got depression? I know the cure. Does that mean Christians are not depressed? No. But do we need to counsel people where they're at? Yes. Do we need to understand and maybe even have a really hard look at the inventory of believers and what they're hearing in the youth group, and turn a blind eye to all the gossip that happens once a week, and turn a blind eye to the fact that they raise their hands in worship, and then as they're walking out of church, they gossip about each other? And I just told some youth, are you kidding me? We go to church on Sunday and then we bully at school or spread gossip on Monday. I don't know if the church is ready to really have a hard look at our inventory of believers. Instead of saying, hoorah, hoorah, the devil's winning because we always lose our young people from 18 years old. They go to college and then, you know, they don't ever come back to church till 35. All these surveys. Okay, let's get a really good inventory on how many students who got saved are actually sexually active, saying the F word, and is active in gossip at school or at church. If we just did that little assessment and we really met some qualitative needs for the next generation that we say we can't reach. No, we can. Oh, we can. Oh, God can use that generation like never a generation seen. They just haven't found a witness of what God can do in their own school. Here is a graphic of what happened in a school. 5 days ago, this is on the Eastern Standard Time Coast, some newspaper, I don't even remember what it's called, starts with Frischoberg or something like that, Freshberg, I don't know what it's called. I can't even say it. On the East Coast of America, they found about One Voice Student Missions who planted 80 Bible schools in 1 year with 32 full-time volunteering staff on a budget of $30,000 for the year, feeding these kids as well. And the school year ends with them approaching the schools because the school is on fire and people want to get baptized, and so they get permission and permission slips from the parents that after school hours, that whoever participates in the baptismal service has the permission from the parents to go and do so. The end of that year in Southern California for that school ended with the baptismal service at a public school, ladies and gentlemen. God is ready to move. You can't preach the gospel on the streets of Singapore. You go to jail. I was in China 14 days ago. I had the national government. There were like 30 of them sitting in the stadium just to make sure I don't see Jesus. In China, you can't see Jesus in China. Still. Don't worry, one day I'm sure it's going to open up and I'm going to put my door right in, my foot right in the door. When you're in front of St. Petersburg people who make the decisions if you get a religious humanitarian visa for preaching the gospel in Russia, and I'm in front of those three people and I'm kind of like sweating. And after our discussion, I said, I have a favor. They said, yeah, what? I'm like, I'd like to come back and fill up stadiums to preach about Jesus. Would that be okay? And they looked at each other. They're like, yeah. And the flip side on that is the local church. What happens when someone gives their life to Jesus in Russia? What happens when someone gives their life to Jesus in Ukraine? But what also what happens to to those people who give their life to Jesus in America? Please know, don't be afraid of asking God for your church to step out into your community and to really encourage your church. You can plant Bible schools, Bible clubs in schools. We can do street evangelism. Who's heard of that ministry? Put your hand up if you've heard of that ministry where they're trying to bring 1 million people to Washington, D.C. to pray for revival. Can you put your hand up? You've heard of that ministry? I've heard of that ministry. I don't even know the name of it. But I'm going to say this. I am all for 1 million people to pray for revival in America, my brothers and sisters. I really, 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 really am. But as an evangelist, when you look at the fivefold ministry, you've got the pastors, the teachers, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists. And I look out into all these churches and I guarantee that if you have 100 people in your church once a week, one or two have already been convicted and confirmed by the Holy Spirit directly without you knowing that they're actually called to be an evangelist, that we are equipped not to point to them and say, go sit down there on the pews with the other people while the pastor gets on the boat and preaches to the people on the shore. No, give those people a boat. Give those people a net, not apart from the church, but in the church, not mutually exclusive, away from the church, but in the church, for the church, through the church, for the bride of Christ. We are evangelists. There are people who are anointed and called and convicted, but man, if you can't tell me in 10 minutes how Jesus changed your life, then we question. But if you can actually say that in 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, when was the last time we realized we are evangelists and we are called to go out to all the nations, including your neighborhood? Amen. I'm all happy for 1 million people to pray for revival, but I question as an evangelist, what if 1 million people actually took time to learn how to preach the gospel in 3 minutes to 20 people in a day? Now, 20 million people would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and some in America would say, well, that's revival. And I say, incorrect. Incorrect. Just because 20 million people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's not revival. Do we even know what revival looks like? You look at Azusa. No one could speak. They're under the table. I don't know what that is, but that's not 20 million people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. 20 million people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ is the church mobilized. The church mobilized, equipped, and sent to do what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. I got 6 minutes. Can I take the 6 minutes or you want? I want you to understand this very carefully. I'm passionate, but it's a very sobering message. Very sobering. If we mobilize 1 million people in America to preach the gospel to 20 people a day for 16 days, all of America would have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2.5 weeks, baby. Not even. Is it that hard? Okay, ready? Last one, and then we're gonna transition into something very profound. My heart. Knowing what you know. The word for Foursquare, to whom much is given, much is expected. And you are one of the greatest leading denominations in the world, and I'm not just saying that because I'm at your convention. I hope you understand I don't just tickle people's ears. But I will say, to whom much is given, much is expected. In America, all across the country, get this, 100,000 churches who represent for buildings, for lights, for production. I love lights. I love production. I love big buildings. Trust me, I'm an evangelist. I love his house big and full. Amen. But the witness of us in this country affects the world. And if we continue to just believe that the strategy of influence is words, we're wrong. If we just believe the strategy is prayer without action, we're wrong. If we really believe that we're just going to make our case strong for pro-life and that's going to make a difference, I will never be on another platform talking about pro-life until 100,000 churches that have taken $480 billion of debt for their buildings and productions actually take the 425,000 foster kids in this country and 111,000 children who are average. This is not made up. There are 34,000 kids in LA, foster kids needing a home. Can really we say, as the bride of Christ in America that was once a nation, who would send out the biggest missionaries to the world, who now have $500 billion worth of debt, say that we love God, yet 100,000 churches can't empower one family to take four foster kids and one adopted kid to eradicate the need in our country for foster care system? Would that not speak volumes of God's love? Think of all the biggest publications, think of all the media, think of all the church became one. The church became one. The church became one. I'm going to ask Ted and Tammy to come up here on stage. It's not just on the worldwide platform. It's us. It's you. I know they're coming on stage, but look at me. You have 85,000 chapters worldwide. 85,000 chapters of four square denominational representatives and locations. What could God be saying to us? Number one, as a person. Number two, as our church. Number three, in our community. I'm going to say it one more time. In a different way. Ready? What is God telling you about that? We're just going to stop right there. We're going to look at down first our feet. Remember the circle of what? Revival that comes from tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, thus then transformed ourselves in the renewing of our mind. Our soul is saved. Our spirit is now Him living in us. Our mind is being renewed and challenged as we take one step at a time. And what that means is His kingdom has come to your address on your street. His kingdom has come to the address of your church. His kingdom has come to all the members' addresses of your church. His kingdom has come to your city. Amen. God will provide, and God will break down the walls and the lies. He will light up and take away the darkness with His light. But we are the body.